Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. This is Brian here with Paul, and whether you're listening from our Secret Invasion specific channel or the main Bingetown TV feed, thank you for stopping by. Today, we're going to be covering episode 4 of Disney Plus's Secret Invasion. Today's episode is called Betrayal. And if you haven't already noticed, new host, we are a man down, duty calls, Jimmy is doing some actual work. Just putting his nose to the grindstone out there in the world outside of podcasting. So duty calls, Jimmy is not going to be here today. We're going to miss him sorely. I'm going to do my best here going through the laundry list of Bingetown TV items. Like I said, if you're here from the Secret Invasion specific channel, we do have a main Bingetown TV feed. There's 7 of us. We rotate our hosts. We've covered over 50 other shows, a couple previous MCU projects, and you can find everything we've done on bingetowntv.com. So I would recommend, if you like what you hear if you like what you hear today, go on over to bingetowntv.com and just play around, see what we have. I'm sure we've covered something you've watched before. And the other thing is, Jimmy's been talking about it every week. We have started this Discord community. We would love for you guys to check it out and drop by. If you're trying to have a good conversation, you can access any of the 7 hosts there. We'll respond to you guys, and we just love the engagement. So check that out if you're interested. And yeah, we'd love to have you. But yes, let's get into this episode, episode 4, Betrayal. And Paul, we were pretty sour on episode 3. Maybe I was just disinterested from episode 3, but my first watch through of this episode, I was also disinterested until we got to the action at the end, and then I kind of tuned in. It wasn't until my second watch through that I did kind of like this episode. I think I would say it's probably my favorite of the 4 so far. I kind of liked what they did with Vara and Fury. The Rhodey reveal, I think we just all saw it coming at this point. So that wasn't too crazy, but it does fit the narrative of the story for sure. And then they didn't make us wait long. Gaia is alive. And I kind of hate doing this because we didn't say it on the pod, but Paul, hopefully you can vouch. Me and Jimmy, immediately when we stopped recording episode 3, we're like, oh, I can't believe we didn't mention on the pod that she probably super scrolled herself up and that's how she's going to survive. And sure enough, that's what she did. So I'm sure there were a bunch of people out there pulling their hair out that we didn't say that in episode 3. But yeah, we did say it in the text chat. Just, you know, didn't get it on the board in the podcast, but that's been 3 minutes of me talking. Paul, take over the reins here. Tell me what you thought of this episode.
I thought that when you said, if you like what you hear here, I was like, no, I like that. That makes sense.
It did make sense, didn't it? Yeah,
it did make sense. If you like what you hear here, check us out. I want to say that more often. But yeah, regarding the episode, yeah, I think I was kind of on the same train as you were after episode 3, and I like the low expectations always helps, but I went in, I was like, all right, here's another flashback with old Fury and Vara, like how is this going to add to the story? But I ended up loving it. Honestly, their conclusion, their last scene together, phenomenal. I loved how the flashback was really pretty integral to, you know, their final moments together. It showed a bond between this couple that were so distant and were spies and didn't share everything but it showed that and really actually showed how close they were. And it's weird because, you know, I'm saying that and she didn't even see him for 6 years, but they still knew that like one instantaneous moment. Oh my God. It was like poetic in a way. But anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. The rest of the episode, it's like, holy shit, I don't have time to breathe with these theories, man. Like last episode, they killed Gaia. This episode, they're stabbing Talos. And it's like, I feel like one thing gets resolved and then immediately something else happens. So they're definitely throwing a lot at us, not wasting time, but also some moments coming up, I guess we'll talk about it. I'm like, what was the point of last episode if, you know, these actions take place on this episode? And we'll get to them. But overall, I enjoyed it. And I'm actually, cool. You know, pretty excited to see what happens next.
Yeah, I would agree with everything you just said, but let's just get into it. I figure we can do these, you know, it's a big, nice, Paul sipping a little drink here. I love it. But we only get two quick hitting scenes with Gaia, but pretty important ones. Obviously, the first scene that is, oh, Gaia's alive. And we get the flashback of her stealing the Dalton scientist's memories so that she understands how the machine works, super scrolls herself up. We should have called it in the last episode, but this was obvious right in front of our faces, right, Paul?
Well, Jimmy hit the nail on the head last episode when we were recording, because he said there's no way she's dead because her storyline just wouldn't make sense. Like, it would add nothing, like, right, if she just died there. So yeah, I think for some of us, we were definitely hoping that was coming. But like somebody that's not paying attention, I'm sure they were hype as hell because they get some more Emilia Clarke and they thought they were done with her on the screen.
It's really good because her dying and coming back to life sparks this scene with her catching up with Talos. So in a way, her dying, but her death not really counting, makes Talos's inevitable death at the end of this episode, and we'll talk about if that's a real death, but it makes that one feel more impactful because they kind of just reconciled. And the scene that I'm referencing in the park bench is essentially where Gaia says to him, yo, I've been looking for what my place in the universe is and what I'm supposed to do with my life, and my place is next to you to be, you know, kind of helping you on your mission to get the scrolls to safety and their own home planet the right way. So she kind of still has a lot to figure out in her character arc.
Yeah. And then she calls him delusional right at the end of saying, I will follow you forever, but you're also delusional. It's like, geez.
Although correctly, though, I would say, because he's like, no, if we help them and, you know, if we do all this work in the background and then present it to the president, he'll give me amnesty. And she's like, no, the humans aren't, they're not about that. No, that would just never be them. And he is being naive and delusional, I think. Yeah. Although I would argue that the events of this episode, if he actually, this death is definitive for him, he could go down as a martyr for the Skrulls, and that could kind of, because there were a lot of U.S. soldiers there helping him die on the battlefield, trying to protect the president. So that could be some pretty good optics for Talos and the Skrulls.
Yeah, man, I have so much to say after that little bit. One,
sorry.
No, it's it. Like I was saying, they throw so much at you so quickly. So, you know, last episode I was talking about, all right, if Guy's dead, I want Talos to go freaking nuts. I want him to go full on Walter White. Like, I don't give a fuck mode. Which doesn't happen because she's alive, which is, you know, not bad. I love Emilia Clarke, and her character can definitely grow into something really cool. But yeah, it's like, I'm a little upset because they were throwing to keep my daughter's name out of your mouth. And then, bam, right now we assume he's not going to survive. I really hope he survives somehow, but he wasn't healing from the initial shot. So we know he's not a Super Skrull. Obviously, he didn't somehow sneak that in there like Emilia did. I'm sorry, Gaia did. From what I think, he's out the door. Now, back to the other part. What you were saying about Gaia, you're saying no way the humans would let us do that. I also think she was more talking about from the Skrulls' point, like you're just not letting us be ourselves. Like, our race is supposed to hide within another planet. Like, that's not gonna ever work. Like, of course, we need some place to call home. And, you know, the whole thing, without a planet, what are you gonna do? You find another planet and kick everybody else out, or hopefully you just find one perfect. So that would be cool if that's how this wraps up at the end. Yeah. They just, you know, Maria Hill. No, not Maria Hill. Oh my God. What is it? Carol Danvers comes down and just like has a planet at the very end of the series.
So here's a question for you. What is next for Gaia? If we can't really talk about Gaia without referencing the impact of Talos's death, we'll get to the whole action scene, but I'm with you. Is what you just said, you feel like that is definitive? He is dead.
I mean,
when you said, I think he's out the door.
If they do two fake deaths back to back, that's like, I don't know, man.
I agree with you.
You're getting a little whiplash there. Will he have some lines in the next scene? I don't know. Or I'm sorry, the next episode. I don't know. Maybe there'll be some flashbacks and stuff. But yeah, I mean, I feel like he's got to be, because his body was just chilling. But yeah, what is Gaia going to do? Maybe Gaia will go Walter White Breaking Bad mode and just, and, you know, once realizes his father's dead, just be like, all right, I'm just going to shut this Gravik shit down right now. And just because she knows all the ins and outs. And so she can just implode it from the inside, pull a Skrull's move, infiltrate and destroy from within. She's going to do that to the Skrulls.
So I believe she's going to align herself with Fury. And I'm hoping the events of this episode have turned Vara back 100% onto Fury's side. I mean, it seems pretty obvious that is what they want to do here. I'm actually pretty down with that trifecta of Gaia super scrolled up with Fury and Vara. And speaking of, why don't we start talking about kind of the Fury and Vara love scenes? Like you said, the flashback to them in Paris. It was in 2012, and it's essentially her. She was doing whatever she was doing. I'm sure at this point they just kind of periodically meet up when they can. She's like, hey, all these superheroes, someone brought them together. I bet that guy was really righteous, and I bet that guy really knows what it means to fight for your home. And essentially it's just bringing up the narrative of the Skrulls, kind of like, hey, buddy, remember us and the promises you made to us. If you're doing all this stuff at home, you can be helping us as equally much. But it was very playful. And this is where they established the poem, which completely went over my head on the first watch through. But I'm glad I like Googled the poem. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. Late Fragment by Raymond Carver. And it's essentially, and did you get what you wanted from this life? Even so, I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved? To feel myself beloved on this earth. And it's a really beautiful thing. It's essentially what Vara has. She connects with this poem because that's what she's looking for. She wants to be beloved. And then that ties in beautifully to the, later scene that we get. But we got a lot in between there with Rhodey. So what are we thinking about this Rhodey reveal? I feel like it's kind of been dragged on for four episodes. He's really the only obvious person that they've queued up to be a Skrull, and sure enough, he is.
Yeah, a lot of things to go in here. One, probably a big surprise if you're not really paying attention, very casual viewer. If you are, like, you know, paying a little bit of attention or listening to us, you know, Jimmy was saying immediately, Rhodey called Fury Nick. That was like a gimme from episode, I think that was two. Maybe that was one. I think it was two. Yes. And so we called that. And then last episode, they had Rhodey on the phone call with Vara. I didn't recognize that it was Rhodey initially. You guys had to show that to me. So that could have easily been missed too. But yeah, they were giving us clues everywhere. So I'm a little upset, though, if I'm honest, that they confirmed it like this. Like, why did they just randomly show, you know, the regular Skrull form, which one, they're not supposed to go out of their quote unquote warrior's shell or whatever they called it. And two, they also took away that, like, is he not a Skrull moment and apex and anticipation.
It felt very much like the Gaia reveal that, oh, she was the mole the whole time, even though up until the end of last episode, you were still 50-50. Is she? Isn't she? I feel like we were pretty into this Rhodey theory, but I agree. It felt like they just like gave it to us out of nowhere, and I didn't like that.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess they had to, because they showed Rhodey like targeting the correct vehicle for Gravik and like the quote unquote Russians, but they were just the Skrulls, obviously. I don't know. It would have been so much more impactful if they just kind of revealed it later, like in that moment between him and Fury over the bottle. Like if we didn't know confirmed it was a Skrull, and but they had hints and theories here and there, it would be so much more fun, like watching that scene, anticipating confirmation.
Now, I will say, I guess we did skip a scene in the church where Vara's talking to Rhodey, and Rhodey's essentially saying, yo, can you get a hit out on Fury? At that point, Rhodey might fire Fury, but I don't think Rhodey would ever try and assassinate Fury. So,
agree.
After that scene, you're 99% sure. But Fury's listening in, so... And you brought up the scene with the bottle of bourbon. I thought that was great. Fury in his bag. He is like the best interrogator. Knows just how to like toy the line between playful and professional. Just when to push it and just the time to stop. Yeah, I just love seeing Fury in those scenes.
I was waiting for Fury to say, you know, the roadie I know fucking hates this dumbass bourbon and would never fucking drink it. I was waiting for him to say that to confirm that, like, all right, I see you drinking this bottle. You say this is delicious. Mm-hmm. You're a Skrull because roadie fucking hates this. I'm waiting for that confirmation. Maybe an episode later, maybe, you know, the finale. How many episodes do we have? Do we have two more left?
Six, two more. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So. Yeah, I'm waiting for that confirmation that Fury was just playing him the whole time. It wasn't only the liquid tracker.
So that the real Rhodey hates bourbon?
Yeah, or like that brand specifically.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it was like a trap. Gotcha. And he confirmed it by saying, this is delicious. And two, the liquid tracker, I just thought it was funny because I assume it's like nanotech, which he was talking about. And when, you know, Rhodey says, oh, should I be worried about poison? He'd be like, nah, you should be worried about nanotech. That's the real stuff. And it was like actually nanotech or something like that.
Yeah.
They did bring it up before.
Yeah.
So it's just funny. He literally told him what was happening.
That and was a cool idea. Even Talos was just like, ooh, liquid tracker. That's pretty unique. But go ahead. What were you going to bring up?
With that scene, do you think that Skrull Rhodey actually did make a lot of copies of that scene of him killing Maria Hill, and like that's actually going to be a big issue going forward? Or was that just like a threat that he was putting on Fury to try to get him to back down?
I mean, I'm sure there are copies out there. It's digital. I don't think like that was one unique copy. So yeah, it's out there, but I feel like that's not even that big of leverage, because if you know Fury, like Fury's not killing Maria Hill. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how that's going to hold up.
Yeah, like I don't know.
I guess that's the whole point, is everybody nobody believes in Skrulls. So that is Fury. Why would he kill Maria Hill? There's no other way. But I don't know. Like, they know Talos exists. So humans like are aware of Skrulls, and they'd be like, oh, Fury would never kill Maria Hill. Like, I don't know. That didn't seem like very strong leverage in Rhodey's side to me.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's like, already fired. Like, how is he going to hold that against him?
But yeah, why don't we've kind of mentioned it, I guess, but any further thoughts on that Vara and Fury scene back at her place, kind of in present day, where Fury's just there making the tea, and essentially it's just like, marrying you was a complete mistake and went against every fiber of my being, but like, even as I'm staring across the table at you, knowing that you intend to shoot me with that pistol in your hand, like, I wouldn't do a damn thing over again. And then he just brings up the poem, and like this romance is really hitting for me. Actually, I think they're doing a good job with it in this episode specifically. Maybe I'm just like eating the cheesiness that they're feeding me, but the poem, yeah, I was feeling this. It was very Mr. and Mrs. Smith too, when they like shot each other with the pistols.
Yeah. I thought it was a really, really good scene, honestly. I thought they were, the way they were acting, it was phenomenal acting, by the way. I genuinely thought one was going to end up having to kill the other, because they kind of talked about, well, like, what happens if I don't kill you? I'm just going to be trying to hunt and kill it anyway. So I thought it was literally going to come down to whoever quick draw, and I thought Fury was going to have to kill her. And then it happens and they both miss. And I'm like, that's fucking romantic as hell. That's amazing. They were... still giving the other person the option, because that's the easier option, you know, to kill the other person going forward. That's the easier one, but they would never actually kill the other one themselves. It's just, it was great. And I didn't think there was a romance before this, and this made me actually, it showed how close they really were. So I really, really liked this scene.
Did we get any more highlights of Vara's ring in this episode?
No, the ring that I've been looking out for, that I said, save it for a rainy day, put it in your back pocket.
Yeah, no, I was just keeping tabs. I'm the tracker of the board, so it's just got to keep on the tabs board. On that one.
It's on the board. It's limping on the board. Yeah. It's a strong wind might blow it away.
It's stuck there with a limp piece of tape that's like been taped and retaped. It's like falling off. Yeah, it's a mess up there.
It's up there. The camera was focusing on it for way too long for it to be nothing. It's like the postman from WandaVision all over again. I don't get it. But the last thing about this scene, Nick Fury, this absolute dog, when she asks him, would you still love me the same if I was in my original form? And he just doesn't answer and walks out.
I mean, she's adult enough to get it.
That's funny.
I don't know. It's an alien. That would be crazy. And he didn't say no either, but that was a truth. I respect it. Also, last thing to touch on, she gives the backstory of how she assumed the role of Vara, and she actually does live her life.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it was kind of a beautiful story too. And she fulfilled the three wishes, which were bury me at sea, continue to be a daughter to my parents, and never hurt Fury, because I guess Vara kind of confided in her, like, hey, I can have this love interest for you if you're in. That just added a lot to the character of Vara, because most Skrulls that we know just kind of like take the identities of people and don't really put a lot of thought into it. But great scene for me.
No, really cool. We were talking about all the different things that you could do if you were a Skrull. That's a really interesting one. And I'm sure people would love it, because, you know, they're saving the heartbreak of like watching their parents or having their parents have to watch their children die. So, you know, in a way it makes sense. And good for Vara for actually like holding on to her word. I really liked what her character was becoming. You know, I didn't know how to feel earlier, but this episode really put a nice bow on it. You know, if she's not in it for the rest of the season, I could totally understand that. You know, she's on the run now. But, you know, in the end, I do hope we get more of her, because she was really cool. And her damn ring.
Skrulls are... there's just such potential to be an interesting character, because there's, like, unlimited potential. Not only can they shapeshift, but they can, like, understand the memories of the people they shapeshift into, which just unlocks infinite possibilities. So, yeah, I love this character, Vara. And the more I think about it, the more I get excited that guy is still sticking around. But we already covered kind of the bourbon scene with Fury and Rhodey. So why don't we just start jumping to the action scenes at the end? Grovik, there was a cutaway scene where he's prepping his men onto helicopters and saying, make it big and loud, make it look like the Russians did it. And this sets us up. There's a little quick comic relief where the president gets off the plane and Rhodey's there to greet him. And the president's like, did you pregame with our meeting with the Russians with a bottle of bourbon? He's like, give me a minute, man. But yeah, awesome, awesome action scene. This did it for me. The president's motorcade is just really cool. And the beast, that just like car that he's in, is awesome. So I really like how this just like combat setting came to be. It was these, well, fake Russians, but Russian helicopters, and the Secret Service is just such a cool concept to me, man. President's car gets flipped and these guys are just laying down their lives. This was awesome. Citadel is down, man, but still alive. Protect Citadel, baby.
Yeah, it definitely felt like a Call of Duty mission at points. And it was weird for some points that Nick Fury and Talos just jumped in and they were like, all right, sure, yeah, let's follow these guys. That part was a little weird, but everything else going on, yeah, it was really cool. But there's also, does this confirm that the president is not a Skrull? So on the board, Dave and you both the Prez as a Skrull on the board. Is he off now?
I would say he's off. Yeah, I don't think Prez is a Skrull.
Oh, baby. I mean, Jimmy did say last episode, as we know, Harrison Ford is going to be the president in an upcoming Marvel series. So I was waiting for this president to die.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't know what the context is. I don't know enough about
Thunderbolt.
Yeah. Well, what is the character's name? It's Thunderbolt Ross, isn't it? That yes. Sounds right. I don't know. If you're listening to this and we got it wrong, just forgive us, Jimmy.
This is why we need Jimmy.
This is why we need Jimmy. We miss you, Jimmy. We really do.
Saving Gotham. But still, we need you here.
I've never seen Batman and Jimmy in the same room. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I assume. That's
all we're trying to say. Yeah.
That's what I assume he
does. The rest is up to imagination. But yeah, also Gravik plus group powers equals... yeah, he was taking no prisoners there.
No, like, what are we going to do? You just need Gaia's a super scroll. Exactly. Yeah, you need a super scroll to... You can't kill him, I guess, unless there's something that we don't know about.
You know what? I doubt they're going to make an appearance, but know who we haven't seen in a while is the freaking Fat Dubs. This could be a Fat Dubs level villain to take on, but they're probably saving them for the next Cat movie.
I don't know, man. They might make an appearance because they have been hyping up, like, what are we going to do when these superheroes come? We need to be super ourselves. So I don't know how many people are coming. Or if they are even going to show up, but I'm kind of hoping for like one or two, maybe Bucky. What's Bucky doing?
I don't know what either of them are up to right now in the timeline. This is just bad podcasting. Whatever. Moving on. Nobody noticed, Paul. Nobody noticed. I think it's going to end with a Gaia Super Skrull versus Super Skrull against Gravik. And I hope neither of them die, honestly, because Jimmy and I have been saying, loving Kingsley Benadire's portrayal of Gravik. I think he's a great villain, and I hope kind of the evil Skrull faction isn't completely annihilated here and kind of there just a seed to be harvested later in the MCU.
What are the chances that Fury/Gaia convinces Gravik to finally back down and breaks him and he joins Thunderbolts and he's just a horrible person doing like the Suicide Squad stuff? There's no fucking way. Oh my gosh. That would never happen.
I would like to see him and Johnny Walker on the same team.
Oh my God. They would get so many.
Remember that bastard?
Yeah. I can't wait to see him again, honestly.
Agreed. Yeah. He's a really good actor, too. Oh, my. What is his name? Jack Russell? No, that's a dog. But I think that might be his name because he's Kurt Russell's son. Hold up. I'm looking it up.
No, that's a dog. You're a dog. You, Nick Fury.
Wyatt Russell is his name. Wyatt Russell. I cannot believe that I said Jack Russell.
I love it.
And it took me a full second to realize the error of my ways, but it's staying on the pod. Don't you dare edit it out, whoever winds up editing this. But yeah, I mean, I think we agree here. It was an awesome action sequence, which, comes to a head when Gravik takes this disguise of a British soldier and then in front of Fury deals the blow to Talos, and it sounds like we're in agreement this is curtains for Talos. And it's kind of crazy that they pulled the switcheroo on us. Last week we thought it was Gaia, and now we went from that extreme over to now Talos is gone. But yeah, I do think this is the end for him. I think it's going to give Fury some great motivation. I think it's going to give Gaia some great motivation. And it felt like a pretty good send-off for him, the way that he died.
Disagree at the end, because Fury just left his fucking body there. And I was pissed. I was like, yo, what the fuck was the point of the entire last episode where they're bonding together, their wound that they have in their friendship? They didn't even talk for one bit after he kicked him off the train, and now they spent all last episode saying, need each other, I'll always fight for you, blah blah blah. Fucking leaves his body there. I was like, dude, what the fuck? So I'm waiting for Fury to make that up somehow.
You got the Prez in the passenger seat, unconscious, with a battle going on right behind you.
He was 12 feet. He was like 12 feet away from him. You just grab him, throw him in. Adrenaline will help you. I don't know, man.
I can't blame him for that. I think that was his soldier instincts taking over, and I think he knew that Talos would have wanted him to do the same thing. But yes, I hope he makes that right and does reclaim the body, unfortunately. Well, I think it's more likely that the good guys reclaim the body than Gravik, because Gravik had to retreat because they're in England.
Yeah.
Though I digress.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, it was, I felt like a really crazy start to set up for next episode.
Hey, here's hoping. But yes, this got me in a much better mind frame going forward. First off, I'm hoping we get episodes that are closer to an hour because we're going in the wrong direction. Last one was like 44 minutes. This one's like 38. So maybe get those back into the 50s, please and thank you. Overall, I was pretty happy with this episode, and I didn't say it in the beginning, but it did get a 7.9 on IMDb. So it seems like the audience agrees. Just to reiterate, we said it last week, but we're looking at 7.2, 7.4, 7.2, and then 7.9. So, you know, they're trending in the right direction and there is reason for optimism, but this was the shortest episode, so it makes sense that it would be the shortest podcast episode. Plus, we were a man down. Paul, that's all I got for today.
Yeah, same here.
Sweet. Well, that's going to be a wrap on Secret Invasion episode 4. Thankfully, it was a good one. Got us feeling good for episode 5, 6. I might say we're getting into the end game of this series.
Whoa.
But yeah, no, we will be coming back next week and the week after that to talk episodes 5 and 6. Hopefully we will have Jimmy back in the fold, and hey, maybe Zach the comic book guy might just be stopping by to provide another level of SME. That guy knows his stuff, so definitely looking forward to that. As always, if you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on Twitter and Instagram, visit us on bingetowntv.com, and subscribe to our show on Spotify, YouTube, the Apple Podcast app, or wherever else you may find your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
Like what you hear here?
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.